The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
You're listening to Wrestling Night in Canada on the Shining Wizards Network with your hosts, Matt Copper, Dustin Maruca, and Snowy White.
What's up, everyone? And elbows up to our Canadian listeners. Welcome to another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada.
Almost. It's been a while since you almost made that fuck up.
That's right. And what we're talking about, we'll get to a little bit later if you're just a first time listener. Mm-hmm. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruca.
Hey guys, how's it going?
I don't know if you can hear it in my voice over the recording, but I'm recovering from a little seasonal change sickness. So, you know, it's spring has sprung here in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Most of the snow is gone already. And the really shitty looking grass is out there right now. But it got up to plus 18 Celsius yesterday.
It did. And of course, now the snow has melted, we can see all the garbage all winter that was thrown on the street.
All the discarded Tim Hortons cups and face masks. And
apart from that, you know, okay, if your throat still isn't recovering, you're still a little under the weather.
Not so much my throat, it's more my chest. Oh, okay. Just coughing up the green stuff, you know.
Well, yeah. Wait for, I don't know, about an hour and a half from now and see how you feel.
Well, this isn't the first time I've done this while recovering from an illness, so it won't be the last. I'm only human, after all.
Well, we all thank you for stepping up and doing this, because it's Mania season.
It is. At the time of recording, 6 days from now is night one of WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Right on. So we are going to have some lots of Mania talk, actually. But before we kind of jump into everything, we want to turn it over to Ducky here, because last night you attended the latest big Winnipeg pro wrestling card, did you not?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Right on. So I figured, okay, you know what? We'll start off with you sharing some results and
some highlights, some lowlights, all the lights in between.
All the festive lights.
Hang on, let me pull up the card.
The quote unquote. I know how much Snowy loves that term.
That's right.
Cards subject to change without notice.
That's right. It's one of those things, like, I don't know how with the younger wrestling fans and like the non-wrestling fans, like the card.
Yeah.
Like, do a lot of people these days even know what that means?
Doubt it.
I don't know. To me, it's a term that's just been integrated in the world of pro wrestling since I first got into it. Mm-hmm. So
what it always was.
Yeah. Well, like on every promo poster that I've ever seen for wrestling, be it WWF, WCW, even AEW, TNA, always at the bottom, it has like that little asterisk that says card subject
to change. Yeah. During the house show thing, like the house show era, like in the territories, they had to have that on there because chances are at least one wrestler isn't going to make it for,
or the main guy's going to be like, we have to wrestle where?
Or it's like the first WWF event that I ever went to at the old barn. The Rock was supposed to be in the main event, and he wasn't there. So he got replaced by Chris Jericho. Or the only time
John Cena was ever here, he beat Jericho, and he just refuses to wrestle here.
Yeah, well, whatever. We don't want him here anyway. Yeah.
He would still travel for the shows. He would just be up in a box seat.
Yeah, well, I saw him that one time that he beat Jericho at that house show.
It took six AAs.
At the MTS Center, yeah.
He's like, fuck you, I'm from Winnipeg. It's not going to be one.
Yeah. even though he was the heel, all the smart marks were cheering for Jericho, whereas the little kids and the women were all cheering for John Cena. Yeah. I do vividly remember yelling out, you suck, to John Cena, and this girl behind me would always like clap back and say, no, you suck.
Oh, geez. Mm. I want to bash Cena because I've been doing it throughout the guy's career.
Yeah, 25 years now.
But
at least, yeah.
It's He's on fire.
Oh, his heel turn.
It's been amazing.
Like, I didn't know really how that was going to unfold. Like, the heel turn in itself was, like, an all-timer. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like, his promos when they were doing their European tour, like, they were on. And I love how he didn't change his look, didn't change his music, because that's what people would have wanted. And we get nothing. Because we've just been taking and taking. And taking for the past 20 years.
I love how he changed his hats, though.
So as you can see me?
Yeah. Because the C goes through, you can see it go through half of it now.
Yeah, the slash doesn't go through the C anymore. Yeah. That's
we
pretty clever.
We can see him now.
It's a subtle change, but it's one of those things where you're just like, ah, I see what you did there.
I see you now.
Yeah. I see what you did, John. And like, and then there's now talk that is he going to bring like the spinner title? And like, no, because that's what people would want.
Right.
We get nothing. We get nothing, and we'll love it.
No, I don't ever want him going back. I'm enjoying heel Cena.
Yep, I am too. So. And like, even though I'm pretty sure that kid in Brussels was a plant, but the fact that kid's face was literally everywhere.
Right, right.
Same with the plant on AEW a few days later.
Oh, with Jericho?
Yeah.
That was definitely a plant.
So she was like, come here, fucking fuck you.
Was that a girl or was that a boy?
I don't know.
Yeah. He was like, they lifted up their shirt to show like they had a six-pack abs. And I'm just like, oh, this is like that little Hercules kid from
and
like
then when Jericho just looks at the camera, it's just like, ha-ha. Yeah, okay,
you could tell Jericho kind of corpsed, as they say, when they break character on air. Yeah, he corpsed for that.
I kind of feel bad for these two kids because... Mm. Imagine peaking at 8.
Yeah.
Okay, like this could very well be it. You know, like this is as high as these.
Well, who knows? Maybe in 15 years that kid in Brussels is going to debut in WWE and John Cena is going to come back to do like a speech and be like or induct someone into the Hall of Fame or whatever or it'll be Raw's like 45th anniversary or whatever, and
John
like,
will take a bump for him.
Yeah, John will take him out, or this guy, this kid from Brussels will just take him out. So,
AA.
Yep.
There was a little kid. I guess it was about 88. Rob Zankowski. He had a little bit on a $1 Million Man segment.
Okay.
And as it turned out, that kid grew up to be one Rob Van Dam.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So who knows? Maybe one of these kids. Yeah,
oh, yeah. Right. He had to like kiss.
He had to bounce a basketball. No.
Or no. That was a. Yeah. That was a different kid.
Yeah. What did
Rob Van Dam had to get down on his hands and knees and kiss DiBiase's shoes.
Right.
Or yeah.
Right. And he still didn't get the money.
Yeah. Didn't get the $100. Yeah.
DiBiase was so good for that.
Oh, he was was a prick.
It's just
he is in real life too. He's
much
a prick.
As
art imitates life, I guess.
as much as I didn't like him being a heel, just from a fan perspective, because I enjoyed his work, you know, in the territories and the UWF and all that.
Yep,
he's so good. It was wow.
Oh well, if a heel elicits the response that they're supposed to be getting,
they're doing their job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like in Europe, John Cena was getting a split reaction of the "Let's go Cena, Cena sucks" chants, but because obviously there's the people, like I said, the smart marks who love the fact that he's a heel because it's what they've been wanting for the past 20 years.
Yeah.
And then there's the people who. Loved John Cena with all their heart, and they hate to see him turn to the dark side. Yeah, one thing I did notice is that in all these promos, The Rock was never mentioned once between the promos between Cena and Cody. Maybe he was mentioned a singular time, but he was not the focal point of it.
Because like haven't seen Rock since the Rumble,
or since Elimination Chamber,
right? Yeah. Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, since the night that John Cena turned heel and The Rock did that really awkward. Throat cutting gesture where he went like up his cheek for some reason.
Yeah.
After he was told to go fuck himself by Cody.
Cut his smile.
Yeah. Is this where the soul is in your jowls?
I still think what's going to happen is I think John's winning.
Oh, of course he is.
I still think a couple months from now, The Rock's going to be like, since I own your soul now, that belt is mine.
Oh, yeah.
And try to like buy it from John.
There could be
he's not gonna buy it from him. Yeah. He'll just take it if he wants it.
He could just take it.
Yeah. And then John's gonna be like, let me think about it or whatever.
Well, right. And he doesn't have the choice. He already made the decision.
Or they'll right there, John will be like, no. And then they'll argue about it, and then there'll be Cena Rock 3. And then
SummerSlam?
Probably. Yeah. And then John will win, and then he'll be, yay, good guy John again. And then, yeah.
Or what could happen? Okay, like Cena's an actor.
Mm-hmm.
He's played the peacemaker. If he sold his soul to The Rock, Ghost Rider in the MC. No, I'm being a smart. Yeah.
Only Nicolas Cage can play Ghost Rider.
That's right.
That's right. But hey, I'm putting it out there. If you know, he could be the MCU's Johnny Blaze because he sold his soul.
Nobody can make those facial expressions like Nicolas Cage could in the second Ghost Rider movie.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm dying to hear about the card last night. Sorry for taking us off track.
We always go off
there.
Topic. Yeah, it happens.
It's a podcast. It happens. There's a reason why these things are like
when we join
an hour
you on Radioactive Metal, we go off about wrestling.
We do.
and any way that we can associate and branch off something with something else that we like, we'll take it.
Yeah,
as long as we circle back to what we were originally talking about. Okay.
All right.
WPW.
Last night, Winnipeg Pro Wrestling had their fight at the museum, battle for the nonsuch last night at the Manitoba Museum.
It's nice, nice.
The third one, fight at the museum three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The opening match was for the WPW Tag Team Championship, which saw Sweet Bobby Shink and AJ Sanchez defend against Sean Moore and Michael Allen Richard Clark.
Mark.
He needs a few more names.
Yeah. He needs a few more.
Earlier today I watched a George Carlin bit about how he hates people with hyphenated names. Just pick one, would you?
That sounds like
they're all first names.
Yes. Yeah. I saw this guy on this multi-name guy, it's
MLP.
They're
doing a Montreal show.
Oh, excellent.
In June.
Excellent. Excellent.
Fuck.
Yes. I saw him on that, and I remember texting you. It's like, okay, this guy said he's from Winnipeg. Like, who is this guy? How come I don't know who he is? And so great on, good on him. Good on him getting that national exposure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so excellent.
Good for him. And Bobby Shink and AJ retain the titles. A good opening contest. Match two of the evening saw Ava Lawless defending the women's championship against the inaugural women's champion Jody Threat.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
We were there for that. All three of us were.
Yeah.
When she beat Allie.
Yep. Allie Catch. Yep.
Yeah.
And, or not to have a little side quest again, but any updates on Allie recently?
She's doing better from what I've been seeing on like Instagram and Facebook and stuff.
Yeah.
She's doing commentary at Effie's Big Gay Brunch next weekend in Vegas.
Oh, good. So has she turned face or something? Or?
I don't know.
Okay, well.
When
any wrestler comes back from a major injury, they always come back as a babyface. So.
Yeah, or they at least get the positive reaction.
I don't think she'll be wrestling anytime soon, but.
Well, no, that was a pretty serious leg injury.
Yeah,
so.
Broken two places.
Yeah. That was tough to
walk.
Yeah,
walk
it off, Private.
That's right.
It's good to see her back on her feet and doing better.
You know, her feet. Not her feet literally or her feet like figuratively?
Literal.
Okay. Well, anyway,
back
to the show.
Which saw someone interfered and hit Jody with a chair. I'm not sure who it was.
They were hooded?
Yeah. Oh. It was a female wrestler from Hamilton Pro Wrestling. Because that's a thing.
Okay.
I don't know who it was. Neither did like all the people I was sitting with. We were like, who's that? Okay. Cool.
That works.
And then Ava hit Jody Threat with a Samoan drop and retained the women's championship.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But Jody, I didn't realize until after when I was talking to her that she did this with a broken hand. So good for her. Props. She broke it in jiu-jitsu on Tuesday.
Wow.
Damn.
Well, I'm loving her merch because it's the font of the old Minor Threat logo.
Yeah.
Which she's a real life, hardcore girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, she's a sweetie. Always good hanging with Jody Threat when she's here. The next match of the... Oh, and get well soon for her broken hand.
Yeah. Even if you're not like using it for punches, I can't imagine it feels very comfortable even taking bumps because the hand would be like... jarring anyway. Like,
yeah, you have muscle movement. Yeah. Your hand is always in use.
And, like, memory to throw your arms back. And
yeah, or even, like, just taking a bump, like, the vibrations going through your body, yeah, no doubt.
That wouldn't feel
shake your
great
hand and cause extreme pain.
Yeah. Anyways, mm-hmm, up next we had Brax, his open challenge. Brax is a newer guy. He's fucking huge.
Yeah, I think I remember you talking about him last time.
His open challenge opponent was Kevin O'Doyle. You O'Doyle probably know rules the name. Yeah, O'Doyle rules.
Kevin O'Doyle.
Brax won.
Okay. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Big meaty men slapping meat.
Slapping meat, okay.
As Booker T would say.
As Big E would say.
Big E, yeah. After that, we had Matt Cardona,
mm-hmm,
against Raj Deshi.
Oh, Jinder Mahal.
Jinder,
yeah,
Mahal, yeah. Okay. It was good. Matt Cardona was like, oh, hi, Toronto. It's always good to be back in Toronto.
Oh,
and then
nice
the ref was like, Winnipeg's like, Winnipeg? What am I doing in this shithole?
In this shithole, yeah.
And just excellent kept going. He's like, oh, hate Canada, blah, blah, blah. The only good thing about Canada is Chelsea Green.
I mean, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we all started chanting Chelsea's better, and he was throwing a fit. Because we would cheer for Chelsea, not him.
Well, she has a championship.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. She wears the pants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Raj Deshi came out, and he's like, I'm proud to be a Canadian, blah, blah, blah. The first place I ever wrestled outside of Calgary when I started at 17 was here. And everyone's like, yay.
Now everybody loves Jinder Mahal.
Now everybody that's loves right Jinder, yeah, Mahal, yeah. And Cardona tried to cheat a few times, but in the end, Raj Deshi won. I think the funniest part of that match, I'll toot my own horn because of a comment I said. Right at the beginning, Deshi was chasing him, and he jumped, and Cardona jumped out of the ring all scared. And I was like, oh, Chelsea Green wouldn't have ran. And he just kind of looked. And then everyone started calling him a pussy. It was fun.
Right on.
But yeah, Raj Deshi won. Shook hands with everybody after, as he does.
That's cool.
It was a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we had the WPW Championship match. A rematch between James Roth defending against Chad Daniels. Halfway through the match, Brax got thrown out because he interfered, and the ref saw it, and he kicked him out.
Okay.
And then there was the na-na-na.
Of course.
Those chants. Later on, Brax came back with James Roth's wife, like, threatening her, and, like, threw her in the ring. And then at one point, Chad Daniels accidentally knocked over his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then James Roth went nuts, of course. Beat the shit out of Brax with the belt. And then purposely hit Chad Daniels with the title, but the ref saw it, so they DQ'd him. Unlike the last show where he accidentally hit Chad with the belt and he got DQ'd. So I'm thinking maybe no holds barred for the next one.
Okay.
It would make sense.
Yeah.
No DQ.
Yep.
That's how I would book it anyway.
Yeah, that's like we always say, booking wrestling is not that hard. So.
No. And then from there, da 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 da.
Da da da.
The main event between Bryce Bentley and Sammy Peppers, formerly known as Red Hot Summer, inside of a steel cage.
Right on.
I think it's the first indie cage match I've seen, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I used to go to CWE shows a lot, so I've probably seen them before, but I don't remember. I know I've seen WWE house show cage matches.
I've never even seen one of those, so. It was a cool looking cage.
Yeah.
It wasn't your standard chain link.
No.
Like silver chain link cage.
Oh, it's a nice cage.
Was it black from what I, from the.
No, it's gray.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, it looked black from the pictures I saw that you took, but maybe I'm colorblind. Maybe the sickness is fucking with my eyesight. Who knows?
You're down with the sickness there, man?
I am not down with the sickness.
And Sammy got split open early, and he's getting his head dragged across the cage, and Bryce was wiping the blood on himself.
Mm.
As the heel does.
Of course.
And then Bryce got cut open. And then Sammy was doing the same to him. And then at one point, Bryce's lackey tried to get into the cage. And Sammy Peppers threw him off the top of it. That bump looked like it sucked.
Yeah, I imagine it did.
Because he didn't land in the middle of the ring. He landed in the corner.
Oof. Yeah. From that height, that would have been pretty rough.
Yep. It's like landing in a boxing ring at that point.
Yeah.
Did not look fun. In the end, Sammy Peppers came out on top, winning with a crane kick.
Okay.
And then everyone celebrated, and that was the end of the show.
Nice.
Right on, right on. Okay, see, this is how you do it. And I've said this on the show before. If you're going to have a cage, it's got to be last.
Got to be the main event.
Even
yeah.
over top of the world title. Because, like, that's the big thing. You have these two people. They got a blood feud vendetta against one another. You know, someone's getting hurt. You know, like, this is what this should go on last.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the way AEW and the WWF and I give WCW did it, too. Like,
it's easier when you're able to raise and lower it.
Right.
But
right.
when you have to bring out the parts of the cage to assemble it on site, then...
But regardless of how you could do it, that should be last.
Mm.
I guess they get it right with Hell in the Cell.
Well, except for the Drew versus Punk was the opener for the night that the pay-per-view
that should have been
on.
The main.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That should have been the main.
Sometimes there's been Hell in a Cell match. Well, remember at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view when there's like three of those every night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it'd be like first match, Cell would come down, have the match, Cell would go up, another match, then the Cell would come down.
Yeah, there's been Hell in a Cell matches at WrestleManias. I'm pretty sure.
Only two, I think. No.
Well, there was
three or four at this point.
Edge versus Finn Balor and Shane versus The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Boss Man versus Undertaker. Yeah.
I think those are the only three.
All I can recall off the top of my head. But if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again.
Yeah.
But very, very seldomly has the Hell in a Cell main evented, like exclusively main evented a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Besides so, that, it was like No Way Out. No, not No Way Out. Which pay-per-view is that? Triple H, Mick Foley.
Oh, I think that was No Way Out. Because the Royal Rumble, they had the street fight. So yeah, right. It was Hell in a Cell. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was like quote-unquote last match, and then he came back for WrestleMania anyway.
Yeah.
So, WPW, Night at the Museum, Fight at the Museum, I guess it's called. Horns up, horns down, horns up. In the middle, horns up. Excellent.
The next one's May 23rd at the WEC. Tickets go on sale as we speak, Friday at 11 a.m.
Okay. All right.
And that's no doubt it'll sell out extremely quick. So.
And I'll be at work, so I'm going to have to find the bathroom.
Find your bathroom, go on your phone, whip out the credit card. And
yeah. I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working Nelly on Friday. So
that's the day after my birthday.
Yeah, he's still around.
Nelly's still around?
Yeah.
He still has the Band-Aid under his eye?
Probably.
You would think... That guy just... You'd think it would get better.
You'd think that
would
have healed by now, yeah.
Yeah.
So Nelly's a hemophiliac, is what you're saying.
Or he has a skin tag that won't go away.
Yeah,
either
like
or.
So, like we said at the top of the hop,
mm-hmm.
it's Mania season.
Yep.
And
the granddaddy of them all.
WrestleMania.
Yeah, I know... Like the WWF has taken that granddaddy thing.
At least it's not
since WCW disappeared, sort of.
At least it's not Colossal Tussle season.
The showcase of the immortals.
Yeah. But that granddaddy, that was Starrcade. They were using that.
The grandest stage of them all.
Yeah. So most matches by now have been announced.
I would assume so, given that the go or the go home episodes are this coming week, so
right, yeah,
I wouldn't imagine. And we did hear the other day that each night is going to be 9 hours long.
Oh, for God, no! What we don't need 18 hours of
3 hour pre show,
the whole
4 hour main show, 2 hour post show.
That breaks it down a little bit better. Yeah, okay, so, that's. Well, the pre-show, if they're not having any matches on the pre-show, then yeah.
So it'll be 3 hours of promos that we'll see during WrestleMania
anyway. Which I don't
need
to see.
No, nobody needs to see that.
I don't need to sit through a 3 hour of pre-show with nothing on it.
Yeah,
and I don't need the post-show. Either.
Yeah, the media scrum or whatever.
Right.
that some AEW fans think WWE stole from them.
No.
It's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, because AEW is the first people to ever put on press conferences.
That's
Even like, well, even like New Japan has been doing that forever. Of course. So yeah,
the NHL was doing that when I was a kid. So
yeah,
like that's nothing new.
Like sports, sports in general have been doing that for all decades. Time, yeah.
No, we did it first.
So like, do you have some matches?
I have. I have the entire card. So far, I've got 13 matches.
Okay.
Yeah, so far.
It's just a regular AEW pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah. More or less. Yeah, those are a chore to get through nowadays.
Yeah. The one last weekend was 5 hours.
Was it?
Yeah.
Jesus. Okay, yeah, we didn't order that one. We ordered the one before.
Dynasty? Or
Dynasty was last weekend. Yeah. We ordered Revolution. That was the last one.
There was 12 matches. That's on crazy. Dynasty last weekend.
Oh, okay.
That's nuts.
It was 5 hours.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I like a more palatable card, personally.
Tony, do like 7.
Yeah, or 5. Like, but, you know, NXT TakeOvers were my favorite pay-per-views because those always had 5 matches and they were 2.5
Speaking
hours.
Speaking of NXT, there is an NXT pay-per-view next weekend.
Oh, yeah, it's early in the
morning. Saturday morning, 9:30.
Yeah, to give people time to go from the arena to the stadium.
Yeah.
I imagine there's gonna be a lot of stuff
a lot
going
of the wrestlers
on in
are,
Vegas.
A lot of the wrestlers are pissed too because I wouldn't want to be at the building at 4 a.m.
Why would you? Like,
suck it up.
Well, Sarah, who I go to WPW shows with,
right?
Who we all know is going to Vegas for the collective,
okay.
Like the GCW collective,
right?
And she's hitting up a bunch of other indie shows in the area. She's going to New Fear City's Murder Mania, which is Casanova Valentine's ring show at a bar.
Okay.
She wants to hit up like Ruthless Pro and a bunch of other shits being announced now. Well, she's going to WrestleCon.
And even in terms of WWE, you got SmackDown on Friday. Then immediately after that, you have the Hall of Fame ceremony.
At a different building.
At a different building, yeah. At the hotel. The official hotel. I can't even remember what it's called, but it's the official hotel of WrestleMania 41.
It should have been at the Sphere.
Should have been, yeah, but
that would have worked.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So then they got Stand and Deliver Saturday morning, WrestleMania Saturday night, and then WrestleMania Night 2 Sunday night.
Yeah.
And then Raw on Monday.
The next night, yeah. Yeah. That's all in Vegas?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it is.
Wow. Okay, any word on the Hall of Fame being on Netflix for us?
I would assume it would be. If not, I guess it would be on YouTube. Like,
oh, okay.
Or on, like, sports...
Well, no, they don't have a deal with Sportsnet anymore.
All right.
Yeah, so...
TSN or some shit.
Nope, TSN is with AEW.
Yeah.
So, that one gap...
Well, after... I can check right now, actually.
Yeah, that one gap when the Sportsnet deal expired and when SmackDown debuted on Netflix, they just streamed it live on YouTube. So, I would assume if it's not on Netflix, it'll definitely be on YouTube.
Yeah.
I see no reason why it wouldn't be.
Like, I am checking Netflix right now.
Okay. But as far as the WrestleMania weekend goes, the cards, as we, at the time of recording, are as follows. For the World Tag Team Championship, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods challenge Eric and Ivar, the War Raiders.
So, okay.
I'm just happy to see the tag team titles on a pay-per-view. They haven't been on a pay-per-view in quite some time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm liking the New Day now. I'm sorry.
Heel New Day?
I was never a New Day fan, like when they were faces.
Just, you didn't like the unicorns and the pancakes?
Yeah, you know? None of it just did nothing for me. Mm-hmm. But just the fact that they're... telling everyone, you know, a big F you and all that. Like, this is great.
I love how the fact that they kicked out Big E is like the most hurtful thing anyone could ever do to anyone.
That's right. That's
I don't see Hall of Fame.
For Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay, it'll probably be on YouTube then.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
I mean, fingers crossed, but.
I still think that the funny part about like them kicking out Big E is like how Dom was the most hated at the time. And he's like, I didn't like Big E either, but that was.
Yeah.
Like, but that was different.
Yeah, Rey Mysterio's not allowing them to change in the locker room.
Yeah.
Like, they were completely exiled from the locker room just because everyone loves Big E. Yeah. So, yeah.
I didn't like Big E either, but that was too far.
Yeah.
Tom walked away.
Yeah. So, yeah, that should be a good match. I hope it gets enough time. Mm-hmm. I hope it's not on the pre-show.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that would,
Yeah.
If anything, that'll go on first.
Oh, that's listed first on the card for night one. But who? I don't know if any of these are in order or not. I think they're just listed for shits and giggles. But I'm pulling for the New Day on this one. I hope they win. Because, yeah. I mean, it's been a long time since they've been champs. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to see the heel New Day as champs.
Or if Big E comes out and helps the Viking Raiders win.
Could. And then that would lead to a six-man tag at Backlash. Like, New Day and someone else versus Big E and the War Raiders.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Big E's allowed to compete.
Yeah.
War Day.
War Day.
It's a War Day.
Big War.
Big War.
Okay, next up, speaking of Rey Mysterio, we got Rey Mysterio taking on El Grande Americano.
Oh,
I love this stupid
gimmick.
Who's
definitely not Chad Gable.
I love this stupid gimmick so much.
Yeah, I know it, it drummed up a lot of controversy, not only because like the promo for El Grande Americano used AI imagery, which you could tell because some of the people in these photos had six fingers, right, if you look closely. Not only that, but he's listed as being from the Gulf of America. And if you've been paying attention to the news lately or about a month or so ago, yeah, that was a bit of a point of controversy between politically polarizing, if you will. So,
Right.
So, but on the other hand, he's a heel.
Yeah.
So
if
he was a babyface, then I'd raise an eyebrow and be like, I don't know about that. But since he's a bad guy, I'd say it's a little more acceptable, and I don't like getting political on here, but it's just like, come on.
The gimmick is great.
I totally why they're getting it. And
it's also great when Chad is doing interviews, like, oh yeah, sorry, I'm still sick, I can't work it, and just in the background,
I feel his pain.
El Grande walks by.
Yeah. Or yeah, the first time El Grande Americano came by, he's like, he got arrested. He was in the background.
Yeah. Getting arrested. Because they're wearing the exact same clothes except for the mask.
I thought that. Yeah. I thought that was going to be Rey Fénix. I was like, oh, please don't let this be how he debuts.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That would be terrible.
Yeah. I'm glad that he had a great debut on SmackDown against Nathan Frazier, though. Like, I'm stoked to
that
see.
That Emerald Flosion was, oh, my God.
Yeah. Like I'm stoked that, I like how Penta and Rey are not coming
show.
In as the Lucha Brothers off the bat.
Yeah.
Like,
they need to feud first. I want them to feud first.
I want them to be the finals in the King of the Ring tournament if they have this year.
That would definitely work. Yeah.
Because it is like the left bracket is SmackDown and the right bracket is Raw. So, you know.
Yeah. I could just see Hunter going, you got half an hour. Go.
Yeah. So if.
Do you guys need to talk it up first? Nah.
But if Rey Fénix does win, would they call him King Rey? Because Rey is Mexican for king, so he would be King.
yeah.
Or he'd be King Fénix, which would just be Rey Fénix anyway.
I love the fact that this Grande Americano is a heel.
Yeah.
Because he's a medium coffee.
This has always been such a baby face.
Grande's large, right?
Grande is large.
So he's
Venti is large? I don't know.
Yeah.
So he's L medium.
We're guys. We don't know this.
He's
shit.
L medium coffee.
Yeah, Americano is a type of coffee as far as I'm aware. I don't drink at Starbucks, so
Yeah, this has always been such a baby face thing. When a baby face during the territories would lose, you know, a retirement match or a loser leave town match, he always came back in a mask. And you knew it was Dusty Rhodes as the Midnight Rider. You knew it was Brian Pillman as the Yellow Dog. You knew it was Bullet Bob Armstrong as the Bullet.
Or Japan, Andre the Giant.
Andre the Giant as
because who else is that fucking tall?
Or Hulk Hogan was Mr. America.
Right.
Remember, it was never fully confirmed.
Well, no, it was. Like, they did that on an episode of SmackDown after he left the company, because they were like, Vince McMahon came out to the ring and showed footage that was taken after SmackDown went off the air, and he pulled up his mask and then did the whole,
Put
it back down. Don't tell anybody, brothers. And then, then Vince used that as an opportunity to do the Hulk Hogan. Yeah. That wasn't just me being sick. I actually did put on that voice. Yeah. So,
and it sounds like Vince. So,
so what's up next?
But yes, the El Grande gimmick, I fucking love
that match. This match has the potential of being like the show stealer, because even in Rey Mysterio at being 50 now with his horrible knees, he can still put on a great match. And Chad Gable's one of the best wrestlers in the company. So, El Grande Americano.
And like what JBL shared the other day, it's just like, it's a shame. For 2 years in a row, no Chad Gable at WrestleMania. What the fuck?
Hey, for the first time in a like since his career started, The Miz isn't competing at WrestleMania.
Yeah, 17 that's years. Wow. Yeah. First time in 17 years, no Miz at Mania.
Weird.
Very weird.
Yeah. Well, like, so I guess Hunter doesn't like The Miz. next up.
Fraud!
Okay. Okay, so next up we got Jade Cargill versus Naomi. Naomi, of course, turned heel recently. She was revealed to be the one who attacked Jade Cargill mm-hmm. and took her out and essentially took her spot as
I still think Bianca's behind all this.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess that'll be revealed
if
in
Naomi
time.
Helps Bianca win the world title.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll see. I don't know mm-hmm. if Naomi's or I don't know if Bianca's going to get involved in this match because it would be weird for her to turn heel before the world title match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, considering that that's the next night. But I don't know. Maybe it would be a good talking point for the pre-show. But
yeah. What they should have done is have the women's world title on night one.
At the same time, I don't see it happening. But it doesn't make sense to have Jade lose this match.
No, it doesn't.
I don't think so. And like, no. Hunter is a more sensible booker than Vince ever was.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't think he's going to be changing anything last minute or even, God forbid, during the match, calling an audible. Yeah, because we all know that's happened in the past where Vince would get in the earpiece of the ref and be like, bring it home, the other person's winning. Like, and then everyone gets confused and nobody knows what the fuck is going on.
Or they would do the same thing a week, 2 weeks later. Oh, no one remembers that.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, Vince McMahon thought we had the minds of goldfish.
Yeah.
But...
Or he would put two guys who had a rivalry on Raw on SmackDown and start doing the same shit again because no one watches both shows.
Oh, yeah. Same matches every fucking week. Same promos every week. Yep. It's like... Wait, what is this? The house show circuit?
Like, Kevin Owens talked about that in his Chris Van Vliet interview.
Oh, like having the same matches every week on TV?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like doing the same thing they did 2 weeks ago, same exact promos?
I hated that so goddamn much. I felt insulted by that. I'm so glad they don't do that anymore.
Yep.
Like, yeah, that's what the house show circuit is for, to have the same matches over and over again from town to town, not TV.
Yeah, exactly.
TV, you're supposed to be doing a linear storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad Vince is gone and we don't have to deal with that anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm thinking Jade Cargill.
Yeah.
It's her comeback match.
It makes sense.
But then again, Naomi's heel turn, if she loses, that kind of makes her look weak, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So it's a double-sided coin here.
Yeah. If Naomi cheats to win, it'll be fine.
Yeah. Because at least Jade will look strong in defeat. Not
because, like, Jade could shit kick her all match. And
oh,
then
for sure.
Naomi will, like, hold the ropes or something.
Oh, Naomi's totally going to be the cowardly heel in this one, trying to run away from her. Like,
The way to do it is have Naomi cheat to win.
I'm not expecting this to be a 5-star classic by any means.
It won't be.
It's not going to be
Cargill,
a
Cargill.
Then again, Cargill is better than she was in AEW.
No,
which isn't saying much, I know, but yeah.
But like if they're going to do this properly, I'd say have Naomi win by cheating.
Yeah, like break out the ring bell or something.
Yeah, or like use the ropes.
Something like that, yeah. Like a nice roll up with the ropes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, next up we got...
Surprise roll up.
Yeah, surprise roll up. The most devastating move in all of professional wrestling.
The surprise roll up.
Yeah, it's more devastating than the Blue Thunder Bomb.
Yep.
Statistically.
Yeah, because no one kicks out of the Blue...
Everyone kicks out of the Blue Thunder Bomb, yeah. Okay, next up, for the United States Championship, LA Knight defends against Jacob Fatu.
Jacob Fatu.
I think this is Jacob Fatu's crowning moment. Like, I don't know if it's going to be a squash. I hope it's not for LA Knight's sake, but I don't see Jacob Fatu losing.
No.
And I don't think Hunter would book a DQ finish for a WrestleMania.
No.
Like, especially for a championship match.
Only Vince does that.
Only Vince.
Only Vince or Tony Khan.
I don't think Tony Khan's ever booked it. I know... AEW's been very sparing with their DQ finishes, even in regular matches.
True.
Yeah. So, but.
Yeah. And that's kind of the way they should be. You want to.
Yeah.
You want to see a winner.
Especially for a championship match at WrestleMania. Like, you want to see a winner. And I think Jacob Fatu, I think this is his night.
Yeah.
So. Next up, this match has caused quite a bit of controversy on social media. Tiffany Stratton versus Charlotte Flair for the women's title.
You could tell they legit do not like each other.
Oh, like that promo that they did that turned into a shoot. That was like one of the cringiest promos I think I've ever seen in my entire life.
Right.
Apparently, like, though, payback for Charlotte doing going off script a few weeks prior.
Right, when they had the split screen interview and Charlotte went off the script, but Tiffany didn't, and that made Tiffany look weak. So
yeah.
They tried that again when they had their in-ring promo, and then Tiffany decided to bring up Charlotte's recent divorce with Andrade.
That was it. Yeah.
She was
0-3
for marriages.
Yeah.
Or something.
And then Kaiser's in my DMs. It's like, no, he's not.
And then Kaiser shared it and was like, you wish.
Yeah. It's like,
and then that meme after.
The only man to be accused of cheating and no one believed it.
Yeah. That was so good. When I saw that, I'm like, I need to send this to the group.
Yeah. Well, I even had that was like the Simpsons meme where it was like, Kaiser's in my DMs. That never happened, did it, Charlotte? I apologize for all the coughing. I really do. Hopefully I'm able to edit it out. But I don't know about this one. I hope it's a good match because I know both women are very capable in the ring. Mm-hmm. Yes. However,
it'll be a good match, but I really hope Tiffany wins.
I don't want Charlotte to go.
Cheering for Tiffy.
Oh, Tiffy, I really want Tiffy to go over. And to think initially that when this feud started, Charlotte was supposed to be the babyface.
Yeah.
Like, what were you thinking? Yeah. Did you really think that people were going to be like, Charlotte Flair, woo!
You've been building Tiff, like, Stratton up.
Yeah,
as this great baby face for a while now, and just because a Flair comes back,
that she won the Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
like
Charlotte Flair should never be a face.
No, never.
No,
they try, but
but no,
no,
never,
like
never.
The fans are never going to accept her as a baby face ever again because, well, the one line from their in-ring promo when. They called her, or when Tiffy called her a Nepo baby, and she responds with, Nepo Queen, which is a little redundant.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, I don't know, just like the way she, I don't know. Sometimes, I like shoot promos a lot of the time, but that one was just, that did not hit properly.
Yeah. Don't bring your relationships into it.
But then, yeah, and then, like, Tiffany dropping the line about the 0-3 with relationships and then rolling out of the ring and walking away. That was a heel move.
So
the whole thing kind of just didn't really feel right. It felt awkward.
People laughed. And then when Charlotte said the DMs thing, everyone went, no.
Yeah. It's like that. You could tell that was like an off the top of her head remark.
I liked Wade Barrett's post.
What did he say?
Like trying to be this person, but ended up being
Jerry Springer.
Being Jerry Springer,
yeah. More or less. Yeah, yeah. It had the same vibe as a Jerry Springer segment.
Tiffany better fucking. I was so pissed.
I have a bad feeling in my stomach that Charlotte's gonna go over. Like I don't know what it is. Maybe it's everything in the past. This involves Charlotte Flair, but I hope.
Or it'll be. And then if Charlotte does, they'll be like, oh, this was them punishing Tiffany.
Well, yeah, and you also have to consider the fact that
they were punishing her, bro.
Yeah, and you also have to consider the fact that Hunter's very good friends with Rick. So
yeah.
That's another thing. Yeah,
yeah, nepotism at its finest. Well, she doesn't deny it, at least, but.
Nepo Queen! That'll be a shirt. Give it time.
Surprised it isn't already.
Right.
Anyway, and
probably is on Wish.
Or Timu.
Or
Timu. Yeah. Yeah. Is Wish still a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, it is? Okay. It is. I never see ads for it anymore. Anyway, next up, World Heavyweight Championship match. Gunter defending against Jey Uso. I wasn't sure about the build for this match up until a week ago.
When
Jimmy got involved. Yeah.
That's great booking.
It is.
Like that builds the drama. That gives the face the extra incentive to go for the title and all that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, up until then.
It was so boring.
Oh, when it was boring, when it was like when Austin Theory and Grayson Waller were involved in it for some reason.
Yeah,
like
made no sense.
Yeah, it's okay, but whatever. I'm glad they like shifted into this now. And
because it was boring until Gunther beat the fuck out of Jimmy.
Yeah, he strapped Jay's arm to the ropes and just like completely pulverized him, and Jimmy's blood is all over Gunther's chest, and I'm just like, yes, that's the Gunther I want to fucking see.
Well, remember the week before, Jimmy slapped the shit out of him backstage.
Because when he challenged him to the match.
Good one, dude. Mm.
Well, good on him. He is a Samoan, so he's got balls.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to slap Gunther.
Yeah. Even if you are related to The Rock.
Even when Gunter was, like, close to 300 pounds, I wouldn't have wanted to slap
Gunter. Oh, God, no. No, when, Walter, no.
No.
Just as a fan, I'm cheering for
I don't want to slap a giant Austrian. Because, no, thanks.
Yeah, but
because,
I do see Jay going over, especially now, with the whole revenge plot going. But
right.
But here's how I'm thinking he's going to go over. Jimmy's going to come back and help him.
I don't want that.
Yeah, you kind of want a clean. If you're going with him as a champion, you kind of want a clean win.
Yeah.
But just as a fan, I'm cheering for Gunther.
Okay.
The yeet is the new what, and it's fucking irritating.
Well, he didn't even yeet when he came out for his last promo with Gunther. He was wearing all black. He was wearing all black, and like the way it started, and he was like, let me ask you something. You got a mom? Hmm? You talk to her? What do you talk about?
this is why I'm glad it's on Netflix, because yeah. I can watch it after it's streamed, and then I can fast forward McAfee kissing his ass and all that.
So, mm-hmm. Everybody was eating except for Jay, because he had business to attend to. Oh, I guess I forgot to mention that these last two matches were also involving the Royal Rumble winners.
Yeah.
So, like...
Yeah, and apparently... Okay, no, I'll get to it afterwards. Okay. Sorry.
So neither Royal Rumble winner is main eventing WrestleMania.
Direct support Jay Uso.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's either what I'm thinking. Either Jay's going to win with Jimmy's help,
mm-hmm.
or Gunther's going to squash him.
I don't want either of those. I really don't. I just want it to be a good one-on-one match, because I know both men are capable of putting on a great match.
And all
and
of
it's
their
fucking
matches...
WrestleMania for the World Heavyweight Championship.
All like, of their matches have been good.
Yeah, their match at Saturday Night's Main Event was great.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's... I'm cautiously optimistic. I'll just say that. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And then the main event of night one.
Dun, da, da, da.
The triple threat match between Roman Reigns, CM Punk, with Paul Heyman... And Seth Rollins.
Yep.
So that's an interesting one. The favor. All this talk about the favor.
Mm-hmm.
What was the favor? What did Paul Heyman... Paul Heyman didn't even know what the favor was, and he agreed to it. Mm-hmm. And, like, I have enjoyed the build for this match quite a bit, because...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been good.
I just love what a piece of shit Paul Heyman is.
Like, I know. I love Paul Heyman.
Like, when he was in the parking lot waiting for Roman Reigns to arrive, and he's speaking directly to the camera, being like, he's like, Punk... Let me just tell you this right now. Whatever the favor is, I'll do it. Doesn't matter what it is. I will do it. And then the car pulls up and he just turns around and goes, my tribal chief. It's like, you slimy fuck. And then it wasn't even Roman. It was Seth. Like,
or when the contract signing, when Punk was acknowledging Roman as his tribal chief.
Yeah.
Heyman, the whole time, he's just mouthing, don't.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, we were initially thought to believe that this being the main event and Punk being a WrestleMania main eventer was the favor, but nope. Talk about long-term storytelling.
Yeah.
This is like a 12-year-old story
that
Paul Heyman once told CM Punk.
2013.
The day he main events WrestleMania, he will be by his side.
Yep.
So that's the favor that he called in, and boy, that build-up after he told him that, and Roman just starts laughing, saying, he'll never do that. He loves me. Wise man. Tell him no, and then
I can't Paul, do that.
Yeah, Paul Heyman's. Yeah, Paul Heyman's just like on the verge of tears, just going, "I can't do that, my tribal chief." Yeah, it's like, I made you relevant again. You say no right now, and yeah,
I can't.
Then he hits Roman with a GTS, and Roman falls in the funniest fucking way possible.
Falls like Peter Griffin.
Yeah, the memes that have come out of that have been gold. But yeah, and then Heyman's reaction when he got the GTS, and I was just like, oh, well, this is the most. Paul Heyman's my favorite part about this feud.
Yeah, like, he is. Yeah, my favorite part about this feud is Paul Heyman.
Yeah, and Seth Rollins is just there to look pissed off.
When Seth went to curb stomp Heyman on Raw last week.
Oh yeah, and then
he goes, now you owe me a favor.
Yeah, so that adds a whole new element. So wait, so he owes him a favor because he could have stomped him, but. Didn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm how this is going
to
play out.
Seems a little manipulative to me, but okay.
This is how I would have it play out, is have Heyman turn on both of them and join
don't
Seth.
Join Seth? Yeah, yeah, that's what me and Mason were talking about that. That's what we're thinking.
Seth doesn't need a mouthpiece.
Seth freaking Rollins!
But to hear Heyman do that would be cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the architect!
I thought they got rid of the freaking part. It's back now?
Nope, but... It's you know, it's not. It's not in here. But
oh, okay.
Heyman would have to say
it. They say it on TV though, Seth freaking Rollins.
Well, it's not they still do say it, but it's not an official part of his name anymore. It's not on his the name bar or anything. It's not like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
It's our,
wow.
Stunning
so,
Steve.
Yeah.
So for our younger listeners, we got some homework. Go on YouTube, Pauly Dangerously,
mm-hmm.
in the AWA,
giant
in Memphis,
cell phone.
With the cell phone,
the brick,
in the NWA, like the guy's always been gold.
Oh, he's always, yeah.
Yeah, like he's always been amazing.
Never have I heard a bad Paul Heyman promo.
No.
And it also comes down to like the details of his look. Like I noticed on SmackDown when we were leading up to the favor that the makeup that Paul Heyman had on, it was all over the top of his head and it only came down. I'm not trying to body shame here or anything, but it only came down to his first chin. And then his second chin all the way down his neck, no makeup, pale as a fucking ghost. And I thought he did that on purpose because that looks absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. And he's changed, obviously. Well, we're talking 30 years. More,
oh, for sure.
More than. So he has changed so much.
He used to own the fucking number 3 wrestling company in America. Like, that's fuck.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Granted, it was not run very well, and he had some sketchy business practices, but
you wouldn't even recognize him from the AWA or Memphis.
No, when he used to do the baseball caps and the giant cell phone and the trench coats, or the skullet ponytail.
I could imagine wrestling without Paul E.
Yeah.
In some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's one of the best minds in the entire business of all time.
Yeah.
So, I'm happy that he's still a very much relevant part of the product, so to speak.
Quote unquote.
Yeah, I think.
So that was, so sorry.
That was.
I'm still thinking that he's going to
turn on, join up with Rollins.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it. Okay, so that is the end of night one. Night 2, April 20th, 4:20. Bam, bam, bam.
Punk go to. Yeah. Here's how I booked the ending of that match. If it happens this way, I'm a fucking genius. Punk hits like 2 or 3 go to sleeps on Roman.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, Paul pulls the ref out.
Ooh.
And then Punk look at him like, what the fuck? And then he gets curb stomped.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah. And I also got another question. Do you think this match will somehow be integrated into the WWE Championship match on night 2?
Yeah, of course. Yeah?
Somehow?
Of course.
Somehow, some way?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Seth will be like, here's my favor.
Yeah.
Paul, I get the next shot.
Another heist of the century, perhaps?
Ooh.
10 years later?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, that or it's like the next opponent is me.
Yeah.
So one more Seth and John. So
Backlash versus, Backlash will be Seth Rollins versus John Cena.
I'd be okay
Cena.
With that, because all of their matches have been fantastic as well.
Yeah, all of his matches with Cody were fantastic, but I don't see Cody coming out of this one.
No.
Anyway, to start off night 1, we got the women's tag team titles.
Two.
Or sorry, night 2, yeah, sorry. Getting behind myself now.
Night 2 is Weedamania.
Yeah. Okay, so for night 2, first match for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships, Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez defending against Bayley and the women's intercontinental champion, Lyra Valkyria.
I'm thinking Bayley Lyra.
Yeah, you think Lyra's going to be a double champ?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And then Mandy Rose will bitch again about another double champ.
No, probably. But even though she technically wasn't a double champ, she just unified the titles.
Yeah.
So it was a single championship regardless. She just had 2 belts for a minute.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Wrestling.
Whatever helps you feel better.
Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah, but I'm kind of a little sour that the Intercontinental title is not being defended at the first WrestleMania that it's been around for. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
for men's or women's?
For women's.
Oh, okay.
The men's Intercontinental title is being defended, but that's a match I'm very much looking forward to. But yeah, for the women's Intercontinental title not being defended for its first WrestleMania, a bit of a letdown.
It should be, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think, being that every night, both nights are 8 hours each or whatever, like, every title should be defended.
It's Mania. It's every title should be. Yeah.
Yeah. The WWE, the men's SmackDown tag team titles aren't being defended on Mania. They're at SmackDown before Mania.
And so far, the SmackDown Women's Championship isn't being defended. The SmackDown the Women's United.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like, first of all, the SmackDown Women's Championship isn't a thing anymore.
I'm going to my
end. There's too many belts.
When I think I've got my shit together, because I get all the programming and I'm able to watch and all that. Then I just realized
The women's U.S. title is not being defended, and yes, that sucks.
There's too many fucking belts.
There is.
And now there's an ROH pure women's title that Tony Khan just announced as well.
Christ,
talk about something that didn't need to be done, but okay. I mean, I'm all for women having the same opportunities as men, but like, it all gets a little too convoluted and confusing when you start introducing titles that don't mean anything.
Exactly.
At the end of the day.
Oh, I have a new one.
Yeah. Here's another.
Yeah, and you get a belt. Yeah.
Okay, next up, we got AJ Styles versus Logan Paul. Another match that, I hate Logan Paul, but this could, be match of the weekend.
Yeah.
Because I know Logan Paul can work really well, and, well, AJ Styles is AJ Styles.
Yeah.
even though this could be his last WrestleMania, so yeah, he probably wants to pull out all stops.
Mm-hmm. This will be a very good match.
Yep. And I hope that AJ wins.
I'm trying to remember now. Did they turn Styles, or is this just naturally because...
Everyone fucking hates Logan.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Well, he was a heel, and then he got injured, and he came back as a babyface. Yeah. That was when he had that, what was it, like a shin splint or something, or whatever.
He came back and then did his...
He hurt his shin, like, immediately in a match with Carmelo, and then he was out again. And it was, like, an injury that could have been potentially career-threatening, which aren't they all? Okay, next up.
Yeah, this match, it'll be... I fucking hate it, but it's gonna be good.
Yeah, it's just like every Logan Paul match. It's just like...
It's like, God damn it, why are you so good?
I hate how good you are.
Yeah.
I hate you for being good at what you do.
Pretty much.
Yeah, but this next one is one I'm really looking forward to. Fatal 4-Way for the Intercontinental title. Braun Breaker defends against Penta, Finn Balor, and Dominic Mysterio.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a banger. Yeah.
Yeah, it should be good.
I hope this is the match that's presented by Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and I want to see Braun Breaker spear that fucking Cinnamon Toast Crunch mascot.
Right?
Yeah. Because you've watched the footage.
When he speared Carlito last week?
Oh my god. I was thinking, what if he missed and he just went right through the LED apron? Like,
did it pull the Titus O'Neil?
Yeah, or no, but it was the LED apron, so he would have crashed right into it.
Oh, probably he would have went through it.
Yeah. Oh, I'd say there's 141 2/3 chance that he would have gone through that LED apron. You know, simple, like, his family math would indicate.
Right.
It's fat.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then when he speared Carlito, the holy shit.
At first I thought that was edited because, like, the second he hit him, his music cut out and they also changed the camera angle. So I was like, it felt kind of awkward.
Yeah.
So, but
then, seeing
all the different fan shots of it, I'm just like, okay, no, it was legit. So.
I love Carlito's fucking tweet after.
Yeah.
My funeral will be this Friday. Yeah, all friends and family welcome.
Yeah. Thank you for your condolences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I fucking love Carlito.
Mm-hmm.
Now he just has to spear Dominic like that.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Probably Dominic. Out of anyone in this match, it'll be Dominic.
You're young. You're taking it.
Boosh. Yeah.
Can Dom just take all the finishers, please?
Yeah. I don't know. Do you think Braun Breaker's retaining, or do you think Penta, or...
I want to swerve.
That's tough, because there's no reason to take it off Breaker.
No. Unless he's going to go for the world title right away, but...
I would like a swerve. Yeah. Dom.
Oh, yeah.
That pisses a lot of people.
Dom with a...
Yeah.
With the IC title.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see it.
I would like to see Dominic win. I would like to see Penta win, too.
Have him pin Finn Balor, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have Dom pin.
Have more dissension in the Judgment Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have, like, Penta hit Finn with his thing, and then Braun spear the shit out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then go to the floor to fight.
Yeah.
And then Dom just goes,
what do I do? Snakes his way in there. Yeah. It pulls one out that his dad would cheat. Lie, cheat, and steal. Yeah.
Papa Eddie taught me well.
Yep.
And then he gets, and then there's the dissension of the Judgment Day right there.
Of course, yeah. I'm surprised it already hasn't happened.
Yeah. But that's my guess is Dominic.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next up, a Sin City street fight. Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre. Obviously this is going to be a hardcore match, but like Vegas themed. So there's probably going to be like poker chips and, playing card, cards.
It's
going to
be the
stuff.
Biggie Apollo Crews street fight again.
Yeah, maybe not. Hopefully not like that. But
no drums.
Yeah, or what was that? What was that called? It was like the Nigerian street fight or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So yeah, of course you got to introduce a bunch of drums and like Nigerian themed stuff. Yeah. But.
Wow, the Sin City street fight.
Cool name, but
yeah, but it's because they're in Vegas.
Yeah,
and whenever you have a street fight, like that was a good thing in the territories.
Wherever
the city. But I'm sorry, like when the WWF had their Peterborough street fight, just yeah. didn't get me pumped.
No.
you know.
It'll be like
Winnipeg street fight.
There'll be a there'll be a poker table.
Yeah. I hope they don't do that, but I have a feeling they will.
Yeah.
Whoever takes that bump, that's going
to
suck.
Yeah. I feel bad for either one of them who has to do that. But yeah.
It'll probably be Drew.
Yeah. I'm thinking Drew is going to be winning this one, though. Yeah.
Get revenge for last year.
Yep. Well, it's not going to be a clean win by any means.
Oh,
it's,
no.
I mean, it's a street fight. It's a street fight. But yeah, I'm thinking Drew.
Yeah.
And the build for this has been pretty good, I think.
Yeah.
Both men are really good.
When he... fucking Priest sell on SmackDown.
Oh yeah,
he got DDT. His eyes were just
just wide open. Like,
and he was like pretending to seizure.
Yeah, he looked like he had a concussion. Like the way his eyes were open like that. Yeah.
Speaking of concussion, you see fucking Dynamite last week?
No, I didn't.
Hook threw up in the ring, and then Cesaro fucking hit him with his
neutralizer
on an upside down chair.
Really?
Yeah.
Oof.
And throwing up in the ring is a concussion sign.
Yeah, no doubt. Damn. Well.
Like, as soon as it...
I hope Hook's all right, then.
Yeah, because he was laying there just puking, and then Claudio picked him up, neutralized him on the upside-down chair.
Interesting.
Like, at that point, it's just like, he's... Help?
Yeah.
they probably went right to the finish after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Hope Hook's okay.
Hope so, yeah. Still has his whole career ahead of him.
Yeah.
All right.
No doubt about it.
No doubt about it, Cole. Team Taz.
Team Taz.
Okay, so next up. Triple threat match for the Women's World Championship. Io Sky defends against Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley.
Story-wise with Naomi, I'm thinking Bianca.
Yeah.
And she'll keep her undefeated streak.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is the way this whole feud has been booked, it seems like Io Sky has been like a third wheel, even though she's the champion.
She's the champion, that's irritating.
Well, they're doing
it
on purpose, so I'm thinking that Io probably is going to pull out the win and just kick the shit out of both of them.
I hope so.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for.
Like, that's best for long-term, because the other two are established. The other two are superstars.
For sure.
I hate that expression. But, yeah, so Mania win for Sky would be...
Like, she's already been Miss Money in the Bank. She's already been the WWE Women's
Champion. Io walked into WrestleMania last year as WWE Women's World Champion.
Oh, yeah, she lost to Bayley.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm hoping Io pulls this one out, because, like, she's earned it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm cheering for her.
Yeah, for sure.
I am,
as much as I love Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, I think her time being like the one has kind of come and gone.
Yeah.
Like, not saying she's not good. I'm just saying, like, step aside. We got other people that we need to showcase here. Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking, for story-wise with Naomi, I think it's going to be Bianca. As much as I want it to be Io Sky, I think it's going to be Bianca.
Probably. Oh, well.
And then Bianca will be like 5-0.
Yeah. I would, even if Bianca, like, went down the card and, like, challenged for the U.S. title, I'd be cool with that. Like, give that title some credibility by putting it on a big name.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
But now it's on the new face of America, Chelsea Green.
Or Red, White, and Green with the Secret Hervis.
Yeah.
Just recruiting all the Scottish
The Kevin
women.
Owens, Chris Van Vliet thing. He went, and now she's the face of America. Stole that gimmick from me, by the way.
Yeah, totally did. I was going to say, like, that was Kevin Owens' gimmick when he was U.S. champion, like, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they switched it back because no one cared.
Yep.
And then Vince was like, you're going back to.
Yeah, you're going back to being, he was the new face of America from Maryville, Quebec, Canada.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And, of course, the main event of main events.
Dun, 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 dun.
Cody Rhodes defending the WWE Championship against John Cena.
Cena.
Yeah, of course it's going to be Cena.
It was cool seeing all the old belts on SmackDown.
Yeah, especially the Undisputed Championship.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about the Spinner Championship. I love seeing... I would even take the Big Eagle over the Winged Eagle.
Yeah.
Like...
It was cool seeing Bruno's.
Yeah, that's true. Like, that's an old school... Like, of course, it's like... Compared to the now, like the
it's a wristband
that,
compared.
Oh
to
yeah, like,
yeah,
yeah,
totally.
Some of those titles back then were like, what the hell is that?
See, that is an actual belt. That one looks like it could hold up your pants.
Well, I don't know.
No, okay, no, it is. It is still more of a cummerbund, but
yeah. I'm actually, I can't help but think Cody's gonna win this.
You think he's gonna pull out the win?
Yeah, yeah, because you want to end Mania on a high.
That is true. Very seldomly has Mania ever ended on... But then again, we had that moment last year for Cody.
Yeah.
So,
right.
The year before that, Roman
and Hogan had four moments.
Oh yeah,
in a row. You know, yeah.
But now with Hunter in charge and Mania on a heel winning.
Well, like I said, Mania ended on a heel winning, like when Roman was champion for 3 years in a row. So.
Well,
when Cody didn't finish the story the first time.
And WrestleMania 38 against Brock, and WrestleMania 37 against Edge and Daniel Bryan.
And WrestleMania,
WrestleMania 36 was the Performance Center Mania.
Yep, when he wasn't there. And then 35
was... 35 was Becky.
Right.
Yeah, and 34 was...
Undertaker.
No, 34 was Roman and Brock, but Brock won, so a heel won at that one, too. 33 was Undertaker Roman.
Right.
Okay, well, this blows my theory right out of the water. I just don't.
This will be Roman's 10th main event.
Yeah, and this is the first.
He's beating Hogan now.
Yeah, and this is the first time in 10 years that a world title match hasn't involved either Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
Wow.
That sounds weird to say.
That's,
Yeah.
I just, like, Cena's going to win one more world title. Yeah.
But he's going to be 17.
He's
going
to do it as a baby face.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know.
The heel thing is for the big Mania match.
I suppose, but, you know, but I would love for him to win and, like, carry it through to the end of the year.
Yeah.
And then have him lose it at the final pay-per-view or premium live event of the year called Ruthless Aggression. Have him lose it back to Cody. And then ride off into the sunset. Yeah. Or have it be like a fatal four way between Cody, Cena, Roman, and Punk. You know? Like, yep. All, except for Cody, all pillars of the Ruthless Aggression era. Or no, I guess Roman wasn't either. Never mind. What the fuck am I talking about? What do I know?
Yeah, that then have Cody win it back. Yeah.
Yeah, I want. Well, I love the idea of, like, John Cena saying he's going to win the title and take it away from everybody, and then they'll have to have a replacement championship, and that'll be the toy title that everyone said that the spinner championship was.
Yeah.
So,
and then on the last, when Cody gets the rematch, he'll be like, I beat you already. I don't need to prove it.
Like, The Rock has to be involved in this somehow.
Oh, he will.
Like, how can he not be? He was like the catalyst for the whole thing. Like,
he's definitely shown, because it's Mania.
Yeah.
Like, he's not showing up for every Raw or SmackDown, I guess. He's, like, not showing up for all of those.
John Cena's not showing up on Raw or SmackDown, and this is the go-home week before Mania.
No, he was apparently added to SmackDown.
Oh, really?
To the go-home SmackDown.
Okay, well, that's good. Okay, as he should be. Like,
yeah.
No point in having him do, like, 3 weeks in a row in Europe and then being like, ah, now we got to wait a couple weeks to see me again at WrestleMania. So.
Yeah, he was added to the go-home.
Okay, well, that's good. I appreciate that. Thank you, Hunter.
So with the whole
probably
Mania
didn't take
weekend,
too much convincing. It's like, John, it makes sense if you're okay.
Convincing.
Dun dun dun.
With the whole Mania weekend comes a variety of other programming, as we mentioned at the beginning, and one of them is the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And there's a couple things about it that I want to pick your guys' brain, because you guys are a little better equipped. You know, you guys know a little more about this.
As far as inductees go, and the Hall of Fame has always been pretty divisive as to whether or not they deserve it. So let's get into it.
Magical moment has been added, which I believe are matches.
Matches themselves are now going into the Hall of Fame.
And so far they've announced the double turn, Hart and Austin.
Yeah, from WrestleMania 13.
And has another one been announced?
No, not so far.
Oh, okay.
Or I guess that it's just going to be this one for this year and then going forward.
Oh, I guess we should, talk about the Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Well, that's what we're doing.
It's
been a long fucking few days.
What do you guys think about matches?
Seems a bit odd.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to, feels like they kind of ran out of ideas and they're like, well, we got to do this now. Cause, like,
when that was announced, I thought it was a meme at first.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to lie. And I know I've told you guys this, like, personally, but it, like, when I first heard about it, it reminded me of that Simpsons episode where, like, the FBI are going through Homer's mail and he goes, like most people write to movie stars. The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock, especially when that guy was on the roof. P.S. Do you know Mad Max? It's like well, I can just see it as like
this.
It's like most time wrestlers are inducted into Hall of Fames. This one's inducting matches. It's like, dear WrestleMania, or dear Bret Hart versus Stone Cold from WrestleMania, you rock. Especially when that guy fell asleep from bleeding.
Yeah.
P.S. Do you know Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker?
Yeah. You know, it's a new idea. It's a fresh idea.
For sure.
I'm not hating it.
I guess as long as they don't put in, like, any dud matches. Like, as long as it is actual matches that people loved.
Yeah, and that had an impact, as, and meaning.
As long as Triple H versus Roman Reigns from WrestleMania 32 doesn't go in there, I'm A-okay.
Yep.
Yeah, there are 20 matches before...
By
the time we get to Triple H solo and Roman Reigns,
yeah,
there's 20 matches that could go in.
Next year, I would love to see Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker from WrestleMania 25 because that was a great match.
That is one. Mm-hmm. That is one.
And it's at now that match is like 16 years old, 17 next year.
Oh
so,
my God,
yeah.
My bad.
But the WWE, WWF, WWWF goes back to 64.
As long as Hogan versus Yokozuna from WrestleMania 9 isn't in there. Because even that wasn't really a match. That was an impromptu thing to have Hogan walk out the winner.
Right.
And I saw something the other day about that. Brett was talking about it, saying he was promised a 6-year run before Hogan was just like, guess what? I'm back, bitches.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he went away because of the whole steroid scandal.
Yep.
Yeah, and he came back quite a bit leaner.
And then when the other day when he mentioned, oh yeah, my black eye from 93 wasn't from Macho Man, it was a jet ski incident.
Bullshit. Yeah.
If they're doing matches,
if you believe that, I have oceanfront property in Nebraska. I want to sell you.
That's right. If they're doing matches,
watch us get an email.
Come on, the first one, Steamboat Savage at Mania 3. Like that is the one to go with.
It is, and I hope that I assume that will eventually be inducted.
If there's gonna be a Hogan one, it would be Hogan Andre.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
or Hogan Warrior.
Yeah.
That's definitely one.
Mm-hmm.
Bruno Zabisco at Shea Stadium is one of the all-time great matches. Like, there's so many just chronologically that could have went in before this
Shawn
one.
Razor, WrestleMania 10.
Their SummerSlam ladder match was better.
Yeah.
Not remembered as much, but it was better.
Right. Yeah. Right. Because I just think it was a grander stage.
Yeah. It was the first televised ladder match in WWE. Yeah.
Well, so maybe this is a future turnbuckle talk.
Yeah.
Matches, you know, as Mania next year starts approaching, that can be a turnbuckle talk, like matches that we want to see.
So. Being that it is Bret Hart versus Stone Cold, I do like how CM Punk is inducting this match into the Hall of Fame, because it's no secret that Bret Hart's a fan of, or that... CM Punk's a fan of Bret Hart because he's like copied his colors of his wardrobe. His comeback match in AEW was like modeled after
final match in AEW also Bret Hart colors.
No, I don't believe so. No, that was the one in London. That wasn't Bret Hart colors. His first match back with AEW was Bret Hart colors, and the whole match itself was modeled after a match that Bret Hart had with the 1-2-3 Kid.
Right.
Yeah. Like, a lot of the spots were very similar, so that was... And, of course, like, when CM Punk did the pipe bomb, he was wearing a Stone Cold t-shirt, so...
Yeah.
So who better than this guy, who's clearly a super fan of both?
Yeah.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
I love that they brought back the old Stone Cold Bloodstone shirt, though.
Well, of course, if this match is going into the Hall of Fame, you got to bring back the Blood from a Stone t-shirt. That's an iconic photo.
I want it.
Yeah.
But with tariffs.
Well, those are paused right now, aren't they? At the time we're recording, those are paused.
Yeah, still. Yeah.
But like,
there's a whole other reason for that.
But shipping from WWE.com has always been expensive, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
But I want that fucking shirt.
what the hell do they mean by the legacy wing?
Yeah, that confused me too, because like, isn't the whole purpose of the Hall of Fame in general to be a legacy?
Acknowledge the legacy? Yeah.
It seems redundant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, Ivan Koloff, the guy that defeated Bruno Sammartino, one of the biggest upsets like ever. Dory Funk Jr.
Dory Funk Sr.
I thought it was Junior. It's senior.
Is it?
In.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I haven't really looked into it, I'll be honest.
Okay.
So.
Regardless, both Dorys,
mm-hmm.
okay, should be in the Hall of Fame outright. Kamala should be in the Hall of Fame outright.
Yeah, this the legacy wing seems like it's like Hall of Fame adjacent almost. Like,
yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
You're not in the main part of the Hall of Fame. You're just in this little subsection senior. Over here.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you're just in this little subsection of the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Like, but why? Right. What's the point of that?
Yeah, especially Ivan.
Yeah.
That's history. That's actual WWF history.
Yeah, well, and also considering the fact that there is no physical WWE Hall of Fame, the whole thing just seems redundant.
It does, which... Chris Jericho, we're still available.
Like Chris Jericho's been pretty outspoken about that, the Hall of Fame not actually having a physical building.
Right.
So, yeah.
And there's no reason that there shouldn't, or, you know, that there shouldn't be.
Like, what they should have done is when they moved their offices from Stamford to, like, wherever it is now, and was it in New York proper now, when it was in Stamford, Connecticut?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, now it's in New York.
Yeah.
They should have taken the old headquarters from Stamford and turned that into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Rather than selling it. They didn't need the money. They're making enough money.
It's going to be turned into condos anyway.
Yep.
And finally,
the suite is just Vince's office.
Yeah,
I still think that that Money in the Bank during the pandemic was fucking hilarious when AJ and Brian just stormed
in there, and he was just in there. Yeah,
and then he's just like, "Stop it,
get out!"
And they were just like, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir.
And just walked back into the hallway and then started punching each other.
Yeah, then Vince McMahon, like, gets some hand sanitizer. He puts on hand sanitizer in the most awkward old man way ever.
Yeah.
He's like...
That was so funny, though.
Yeah, you could tell he did not want to do that.
Yeah. Or that was just forced upon him, like, fuck it, we're doing it.
My favorite part of Vince McMahon's office will always be that T-Rex skull, because Triple H bought that for him. And to this day, I'm convinced that he bought that as a way to tell him, die, old man. This is what you are.
Fossil, yeah.
Yeah.
One more thing about Mania before we get to the turnbuckle talk.
Okay.
And as the whole gimmick for us on this show is, we're huge wrestling fans. We're also huge hard rock, heavy metal, punk fans, etc.
It's no secret.
Okay. Yeah, that's the whole idea behind this.
We may have mentioned it once or twice.
As of right now, Snow, you're wearing an Alice Cooper shirt.
Yep. Yeah, I'm wearing a Waster shirt. Yep.
I'm wearing a Winnipeg Pro Wrestling shirt, but like a tribute to a Propaganda album.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Yeah, look at that. Cool. I didn't even realize that at first. Yeah,
didn't even notice.
How to clean everything. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you are wearing a Manitoba Metal Fest hat.
Yep.
So
I lost the snapback sticker. It fell off.
So with that.
Need to get a new one.
Okay. With that in mind, we have to discuss Living Color.
Mm.
Okay. And we all know the connection to pro wrestling and all that. They apparently are doing the night before Mania. There's a Living Color concert in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. So we're thinking.
Yeah. And now as a music fan, as a wrestling fan, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But as a music fan, this is kind of lame. Yeah, you know, because they're there. They're going to. You know, depending on, I don't even know exactly what venue they're doing. They're Living Color, even with a bunch of CM Punk fans, they're not going to sell out a big NHL arena wherever the Golden Knights play.
Right.
Okay.
Well, because SmackDown's going to be there anyway. So.
Okay. You know, but I understand, like, point of view. Okay, this is going to be great because all of these wrestling fans are going to be all in there. All in the area at once.
At most, I could see them playing like a 2,500, 3,000 seater, similar to our Burton Cummings Theater.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. If not even bigger. I don't know what, you know,
I've mm-hmm. never been a huge fan of In Living Color. Like, I acknowledge that they're like their lineage and their legacy, but mm-hmm. I've never owned an album.
The only Living Color album I have is the one with Cult of Personality on it.
Oh, is that a coincidence or?
Actually, I don't remember if it was or not.
Oh, okay.
I was just like buying tapes when Into the Music was still in Osborne, and it was like, oh, Living Color Records, cool. And I just bought one.
I know them.
I can honestly say that I was into Living Color long before CM Punk was even a wrestler.
Yeah, well, he didn't start using that until 2011, yeah. I don't think. Yeah,
because I bought Vivid in 1988 on vinyl on the new release rack. I still have it.
I was 2 years old.
I wasn't even thought of.
You weren't even thought of. Yeah. So it's just, I don't know. I'm having a hard time putting it in words. You know, like,
so you don't want Living Color to play CM Punk to the ring at WrestleMania?
Okay, maybe. Okay, that I get, and that would be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's just there's going to be, because we know how concerts work.
Yep.
Okay. Cult is their biggest hit.
Of course,
so they are playing that last.
Yeah. And obviously there's going to be like a separation, like a nucleus of wrestling fans and there Living Color fans.
And the wrestling fans are going to be like, what song is this? What song is
this? They're going to be, they're not going to be paying attention the whole
time. There's going to be CM Punk chants.
It's the same people who would go to Ozzy Osbourne concerts because they watched the Osbournes.
Right.
They only knew Crazy Train. Yeah.
Right. And so there's going to be an hour and a half of wrestling fans sitting on their hands,
yeah,
you know, or looking at their phone, waiting, you know, just to get that one
song. I thought CM Punk was their vocalist.
And so as a music fan, like, I there's only one thing worse than elitists and gatekeepers,
wrestling fans,
and that's bandwagon fans.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like fans that have jumped on the bandwagon and all that. And so that you're gonna have, you know, a venue full of bandwagon fans.
Well, it's not unlike any Fozzy show that you go to.
That's another thing. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I've stood at the venue for Fozzy shows that were in support of a bigger metal band.
Mm-hmm.
And as the people were coming in, I was playing wrestling fan or metal fan.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of tell.
People with normal shirts or wrestling shirts, Jericho fan. People with Fozzy shirts, Fozzy. People with band shirts, Fozzy fan.
Yeah. Yeah. Or so. Potentially both.
Yeah.
Like
There's
a Venn diagram with a juxtaposition there. So
yeah, like, there's a little bit. My one and only Fozzy album was the first one.
Covers album
with the covers when he was
Mongoose McQueen.
I have that one.
Happenstance was a good album too.
I have that.
That's
one
when
too.
They started becoming a quote unquote real band.
Yeah,
yeah.
I have Happenstance and the one where he was McQueen. Yeah,
the third. Well, he was Mongoose McQueen on Happenstance still, I think.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, okay. Then it was the third album where he just started being like, nah, whatever. I'm Chris Jericho.
Right. Now one of these times I'm gonna see all the. All the Fozzy albums secondhand.
Oh, that's how I got Happenstance.
I'll just grab them all.
That's how I got Happenstance. Was secondhand.
Well, I know that one of my favorite producers and mixers, Andy Sneap, played guitar for Fozzy on Happenstance, and I think he mixed the album too. Andy Sneap, he's mixed a lot of albums from Testament and Exodus and Nevermore. He plays in Judas Priest now. So
Sabbath.
Sabbath. Okay, of course, Sabbath. Yeah,
long before you guys.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. I've listened to a few Sabbath albums, and like,
So, yeah, there's going to be some disappointed CM Punk fans at this Living Color concert.
Oh, for sure. But like, obviously,
they're gonna be like, why didn't he show up?
Yeah, or maybe maybe CM Punk will introduce the band.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or
like when they play that, Punk just comes out.
Yeah, right before. Mm-hmm. And then he waves or whatever.
Or they'll play Cult of Personality, and then the background on the Tron will be Punk's video.
Oh, Punk will walk out, and he'll hype them up as he does. He'll cut an amazing promo hyping up In Living Color, talking about their legacy and how
He's
important they are.
He's going to WrestleMania tomorrow when I kick Roman and Seth's ass.
Yeah.
And why not? I would book that.
So now I want to introduce you to the band that is going to play me to the ring when I main event WrestleMania tomorrow night.
And that would be perfect. Mm-hmm. That works.
After he says that, then they'll ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, or they'll play Cult of Personality first after he does that, and then everybody will leave.
Everyone leaves. Piles
out, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so it's definitely going to be interesting. It's a show that I would want to go to.
Yeah,
and
for
like
sure.
And like the people who only there. Like wrestling and not music will be like, I paid $80 to watch this no-name band. For an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And then until they played the song I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Why are they all old?
Yeah. What the hell?
Well, it's like I've heard similar stories about people going to see like bands. Like, I remember one time a guy I know went to go see 5440 and he said, okay, I'll bail after they play Ocean Pearl. And of course, that was the last song they fucking play. And it's like,
people like that shouldn't even be allowed at concerts.
No, it's like that would have been like when I saw Boston like in 2008.
Oh, okay.
I was convinced they were going to play More Than a Feeling last, but no, they played it right in the middle of the set. But I stayed for the whole thing because Boston fucking rules.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Like when I saw Stone Sour in what year was that? 17 or 18.
So after they played Bother, did a bunch of people peel out?
I left three songs in because I had to work at 6 a.m. the next day.
Oh, damn.
But I basically went for Hailstorm, honestly.
Mm, okay.
And then I was like, okay.
But you didn't leave after they played a certain song and you were like, okay, I saw what I want to see.
I mean, I kind of did.
Oh, man.
But I was like, I got to work at 6 a.m. I'll just wait for them to play Scars and Through the Glass. They played Scars second. They played Through the Glass third. I'm like, okay.
But you were also there for the support act, so you get cool points for that.
I went for Hailstorm.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
And I was like, I've seen Stone Sour before, okay.
Anyone that does that, extra snowy points, for sure.
Yeah, when I saw Metallica in 2004 at the Barn, I saw a lot of people leave after Godsmack.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, I was at that one, but I never noticed that, but...
No, I saw quite a few people around me left after Godsmack anyway. I was just like, you paid $80 for this, which in 2004 was quite a bit of money. That would have been, I think I was in I was in the 200s, I think, for that show.
That's my
ticket was my ticket was $80. So like, that you wouldn't even get nosebleeds for that at a Metallica show at the MTS Center these days.
Nope.
$90 minimum.
With Mania coming up, we're going to switch gears here to the Turnbuckle Talk. Now, the easy thing to do is, talk about your best Mania matches or something lame like that.
That's what you're expecting of
that's
us.
That's expected. Yeah. Let's do something kind of a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As music fans, okay, we've all seen that meme where there's a square and there's a picture of deceased artists, 10 or 12 of them. And the caption is, if you could bring back one artist for one last concert, who would it be?
Yep.
Little yellow light bulb comes over Snowy's head. We also did this, Aaron and I, on Radioactive Metal on the latest episode as well.
Okay.
About artists that have passed away and who we would want to see to come back for one more concert. I'm thinking this works with pro wrestling as well. Unfortunately, there have been way too many earlier than they should have that have passed away that we still feel a little empty.
Yeah.
Because we would have liked to have seen one more match, or we would have liked to have seen this wrestler, much like we would have wanted to have seen a music artist in their quote-unquote prime.
Mm-hmm.
And all that. And unfortunately, with the passing of the artist or the wrestler, we're just not going to get that.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe it would be a good idea if we all kind of came up with a little bit of a list, each of us. Who would we bring back for one more match? And which era would you like?
I've got a handful.
To see that. Okay, good. Well, the floor is yours, my friend.
Well, the first person that came to mind as soon as you told me what the Turnbuckle Talk was Eddie Guerrero. Like,
right.
He's been gone for 20 years this November now.
Wow, yeah. That is so hard to believe.
I will never forget the day that I went on my dad's computer, because at the time I didn't have my own computer. So.
Right.
And, yeah, I went on my dad's computer, went to WWE.com, and, yeah, first thing I saw, Eddie Guerrero passed away.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, but, like, knowing that he had a history with substance abuse issues and stuff, it's wore down on his blood vessels, and, yeah, eventually that caught up to him. Even though he had cleaned up his life and came back to the company, became WWE champion.
Right.
Defended it at Mania. And I'll never forget that moment of him and Chris Benoit standing in the ring together at the end of WrestleMania 20, both as world champions.
That was 21 years ago.
Something I'll never forget. Yeah.
That's a magical moment. Unfortunately.
But soured by. Yeah.
Soured by.
Little tarnished and a little. Yeah. It's sad for multiple reasons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At least his doctor's finally in jail.
Yeah. Tell me about it. But I would love to have Eddie come back and have one more match with Dominic, because I don't know. Like,
we can have a rematch for custody of Dominic.
Yeah.
Oh, I know, but we've seen Dominic versus Rey. I would so love for Eddie to be involved in this whole thing with Dominic nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Like, I know, like, if Eddie Guerrero continued to take care of himself, and if his previous health issues wouldn't have come back to eventually take him from us, I feel that he could have still nowadays been physically capable of competing the same way that Ricky Steamboat was in 2008.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just sad that we never got a lot of moments with him, like
there
that we could have had
so many more. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, that's a good way to start.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, what do you got?
I was actually thinking about this today. If Owen was still here.
Yeah.
Right.
Today's era, the Netflix era, I guess what it's called now.
Right.
Chad Gable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you'd like to see him today.
Owen and Chad would be fantastic.
It would be.
I have a feeling most of these are going to be people maybe not all of them, but no, Chad versus Owen. Yeah, I can see that. The promo battle, because they're such like little snarky little pricks.
Yeah.
Their promos would be fucking gold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I actually have Owen on my list as well.
Okay.
And or they can have a gimmick match. It would be the Blue Blazer
versus Gronk and Huracano. Yeah. That's kind of
where I kind of thought you were going. I would like to Owen, yes. He's on my list. But his rookie year in Stampede.
Yeah.
That whole era when, you know, he's still this like you saw this kid's got so much potential. He's got the pedigree. He's got the work rate. He cuts a hell of a promo. They're pushing him to the moon in Stampede. You know, he's the North American champion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy's the limit to this guy. And from what I saw on TV, I was following him every week and all that. I saw it. I knew he was going to be something. I would have loved to have seen him live,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the Silver Dollar or wherever.
Yeah, I never got the opportunity either. So.
Well, more homework, kids. Check out Owen on YouTube, Stampede Wrestling. Around the same time, okay, there was another wrestler that same era, that same time, one Flying Brian Pillman.
Mm-hmm.
He was a tag team champion with Owen's brother, Bruce, known as Bad Company.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And you saw the potential in Flying Brian, and Bad Company was such a great tag team because you had the young gun, mm-hmm. and you had the grizzled veteran, and they had great chemistry, and it was fantastic. So give me a Stampede card, 1988, with Owen Pillman, and there's another guy,
mm-hmm.
okay, you know, and just that whole roster. You could even throw in Mike Shaw, Muck and Singh,
mm-hmm.
who's no longer with us as well. Ed Whalen is no longer with us. I was just thinking Owen and Pillman, but all these other names are coming to me now. Just,
yeah.
Just get me in Calgary, 1988. Just magic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the first one that kind of came to my mind, okay, when I thought of this, my all-time favorite wrestler is Curt Hennig.
Yeah.
You know, not just Kurt Hennig.
Not just Mr. Perfect.
Heel Hennig.
One of the greatest heels of all time.
When he turned heel on Bockwinkel and had his heel run going after the AWA title, AWA champion, then becoming Mr. Perfect in the WWF. And I still continue because for me as a fan, going to the WWF then, like, I was done with you. I was not done with Kurt Hennig.
You were not done with Mr. Perfect,
because Mr. Perfect, that like that character was fantastic.
The perfect
work, his work rate promo. His, all they did was give Kurt Hennig a dumb name.
Yeah, I did love the vignettes for Mr. Perfect though.
When he threw the football.
Yeah, he throws the football, runs the field, and catches it himself. Yeah. Throws the basketball behind him, gets nothing but nets. The whole thing with him, like spitting up his gum and catching it in his mouth again, right. Like anything, like it was great. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. The perfect plex. Perfect. This, he played it well.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
So with Winnipeg being an AWA territory, like the WWF took over while Hennig was still a babyface and all that. And his heel, there was no AWA in Winnipeg. During his heel turn, we did get a couple cards in 89 after he had left, after he lost the title to Lawler and then moved on. We did get a couple more AWA cards, but, you know, not while Hennig was. Yeah, so take me back to the Winnipeg Arena, or take me back to the Showboat in Vegas. Okay.
In Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Yeah.
That's now a golf course.
So Kurt Hennig, what do you got?
Okay. Well, I just want to preface this by saying all diabolical and unforgivable actions push to the side for now.
Okay.
You know where I'm going. Chris Benoit.
Okay.
Were he still with us today and had WWE had the foresight to take better care of their performers at the time, so he wouldn't have suffered all the injuries that he did, and eventually, like, I'm not condoning or forgiving his actions that he did. It's still his fault. He's not remembered as a good human. But to see Chris Benoit from, like, the Ruthless Aggression era or even WCW, to see him versus Ring of Honor era Bryan Danielson.
There we go.
That is a match.
There we go.
Because their styles are so similar. They would feed off of each other so well.
You knew Danielson was a
Benoit fan.
But
like his...
Air Goat?
Yeah, Air Goat, yeah.
JBL.
Like they both used the crossface as a submission. They both used the flying headbutt. They were... Stylistically, their in-ring styles were also very similar. So, yeah, I would love to have seen a match between those two. It would have been an all-timer for sure.
Would have been a slobber knocker.
even whether it was for a championship or not, that's irrelevant. Like the match itself would have been.
It could be at a main event in any building throughout the world.
Yep. Yeah. I would have paid top dollar to see those two perform at a high school gym.
Oh, that's the best place to see it.
Oh, I know.
Something like that. Like there are so many, you know, marks that, you know, don't understand the value of the territories or seeing, well, the AWA, wouldn't they have matches in high school gyms? Well, if you could get 2,000 people inside these huge gyms.
So did WWF had their Raw tapings in 94 in fucking high school
gyms. Well, that was another thing that I admire Paul Heyman for doing, even though his business practices were a little scuzzy, is that he was one of the first people that came up with the idea to book smaller venues so it looked more packed.
That's why AEW looked good again.
Yeah, because they're now doing smaller venues.
Right,
They're doing 2,000 seaters, and it looks incredible.
I like it. I like the aesthetic change because, like, you go from arena to arena and it all just looks the fucking same.
Yeah. And I've often said many times to non-wrestling fans, the only reason you are not a wrestling fan is because you haven't seen it in a small venue.
Yeah.
You haven't been at ringside.
You've seen
right there.
You've seen wrestlers wrestle for television.
Right.
You've never seen wrestlers wrestle for a live audience.
Like with Bryan Danielson, it's his first match here. I think it was his first Winnipeg match. I'm not sure, but CWE's first ever show. The main event was him and Mentolo. And like that would have been fucking cool.
Yeah.
There probably would have been only 200-300 people, but it would
hell,
have been,
even seeing perfect. Brian Danielson and Eddie Guerrero would have been a fucking all-timer. Yeah. Like, if you
or like look at those ROH like dream matches that happened when Eddie got fired the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie, CM Punk, Rey Mysterio, triple threats, and IWA all the time.
Hell yeah!
Like, fuck, and Rey wasn't wearing his mask then either
because he lost it in WCW. I don't know.
Well, this was like 2003.
Yeah, right before he came to WWE.
Yeah.
And they gave him his mask back because, well, it's more marketable.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how that whole lucha tradition goes with, I don't know, do you gain your, is there a way to gain your mask back after you lose it in lucha libre tradition? Or or was it Vince McMahon just saying, nope, your face, you got an ugly face. Put this on.
Put it back. Yeah. Where are we? Who's next?
That would be.
Okay, it. Yeah.
You go, Snowy.
Nope.
Okay.
You didn't plan this out? You're just going off
really,
the cuff? Okay.
I honestly, until Snowy sent a reminder today, I forgot.
I planned all mine out this afternoon, even when I was hungover as fuck. So.
I completely forgot, honestly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll get back to you.
Yeah.
The Briscoes.
Which ones? Jay and Mark?
Exactly. I've got both of them.
Oh. Briscoes versus Briscoes.
Oh, I like that.
I didn't even think of that. But yeah, just okay. It's Jay that's no longer with us.
Yes.
Jay Briscoe of the Ring of Honor Briscoes.
Yes.
Okay. To have seen them, you know, in Ring of Honor, you know, as a tag team, probably between 05 and 2021. When they were at the pinnacle of their tag team,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then they still like one of them, even I think it was Mark that became Ring of Honor world champion for a while.
No,
Jay did. Mark did recently in AEW.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. See.
Yeah.
I'm starting to forget things.
Yeah. But
things and all that.
Yeah. Jay was, they feuded, like Jay became ROH champion and they feuded over it.
Right.
But,
yeah, right.
But Mark never won it in proper Ring of Honor. He won it in Ring of Connor.
Right.
Yeah, Ring of Connor,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. But, it, like, they were tag team magic.
Yeah, 13-time tag team champions.
Just to have been at a Ring of Honor show, mm-hmm. because they never came up here, you know, in that era.
The Briscoes mm-hmm. have been here.
You know.
Have they?
Yeah.
But not...
CWE.
But Ring of...
Forever
not
ago.
As, okay, not as
not
ROH.
As Ring of Honor.
No.
Okay. Like, I would have loved a Ring of Honor card.
Yeah.
Here during that period with that roster,
like the early 2000s,
right?
Yeah,
right. You know, so that would have been absolutely magic.
To add to yours, did you have someone in mind that you would want to see them face, or
it doesn't matter. Just
I would have loved to have seen the Briscoes versus like 2017 Usos.
Like,
Yeah. That worked, brother and
legit brother tag teams, yeah.
Brother. Right.
Or even versus the Hardy Boys from like the Attitude Era.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Like, because they did face each other in Ring of Honor, but like.
Yeah, but by that point, Matt Hardy was walking like a duck and Jeff Hardy wasn't on, or was on autopilot, basically.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Right.
They were both broken.
Wonderful.
Like we mentioned, there's another set of Briscoes, mm-hmm. the original Briscoes, and there's a spelling change and all that. And the first time I saw the Ring of Honor Briscoes, I'm kind of like, okay, I get it, and this is good. You know, it's a nice homage. You know, but yeah, to have seen like, okay, Jack is like Jerry's still with us. It was
Jack's gone.
That had passed away. Like. The territory days, you know.
So you're saying we need to have Mark Briscoe versus Jerry Briscoe. Book it, Tony. We can still have it.
Oh, God, he would, too.
Yeah, I know. Okay, well, Jerry Briscoe is very old.
Remember, Tony listens to social media.
Would like to...
That's where he gets most of his match ideas, off Twitter.
I'm not posting on Twitter, so...
He would see a random us go, Jerry versus Mark, do it. And he'd be like... Briscoes.
I'm pretty sure Jerry is under a WWE Legends contract so.
And Tony Khan would probably think they're related.
And he's also very old.
Like, right. So he couldn't have a match, but have
the finish Jerry
Briscoe, have Jerry Briscoe in the corner of the younger Briscoe for a match. Like, that would work. But
then
like
Tony
like
would be
said,
like, he's being managed by his grandpa.
He's totally
he's totally tied up. But Georgia in 78 to 80, and then in the mid-Atlantic from 82 to 84, the Briscoe brothers. Mm-hmm. Even that short time as a heel, which I never understood. Like, the Briscoes as a heel? And it, I don't think, well, no, they did have the big Starcade, so yeah, I guess it did kind of work. Mm-hmm. Didn't work in my eyes and all that, so yeah, both Briscoes in those eras.
Well, I'm pretty sure a lot of people thought a heel New Day would never work ever again, but here we are.
Here
we
go. Yeah.
Because they were heel when they started.
Yep, but then they were so popular that everyone had to, yeah, okay, they had to shift them.
Because they were doing the whole church pastor thing.
I do. I have one. I would love... absolutely love, even though it's not your high flying flippy dippy whatever shit nowadays that you got, that everyone that you need to do to have a 5-star classic. I would love to see Ruthless Aggression era Triple H, like,
okay,
world champion, or even like when he first became the game, like in the Attitude Era, like when he was the Cerebral Assassin, Sledgehammer Triple H, that guy.
That one.
I would love...
the one Jim Ross hated.
Yeah, you son of a bitch!
Why, Triple H?
Have you have no heart? Do you have no soul? Damn, oh, Triple H. Damn his soul.
I love those compilations if it's just Jim Ross yelling at Triple H. Oh, you son of a bitch!
Yeah, you cost Austin the title, you bastard! But anyway.
We need to watch
so that Triple H.
Right. Yeah,
so
that Triple H.
That Triple H versus... handlebar mustache, NWA champion, Harley Race. Because I know Triple H was a huge Harley Race fan.
Right.
So
right.
I would love to see those two kind of...
Triple H with his sledgehammer, Harley Race with his
with
gun
his
in
gun.
His bag.
Yeah, I used to see Triple H bring in the sledgehammer and just fucking Race just whips out a Glock and he's just like...
They're playing. They play baseball.
Yeah, yeah. Just hitting the bullets with the fucking end of the sledgehammer.
It's like a Star Wars scene. Shit.
No, I would love to see that though. I think that would, because like,
please someone
Harley Race
that.
Was a fucking ruthless, cold blooded bastard. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see him versus the Cerebral Assassin Triple H.
I know.
Yeah,
yeah.
In a last blood match. First one to bleed out wins. Or loses. Or loses. I don't fucking know.
Sledgehammer versus Glock.
Yeah.
Oh.
Don't bring a sledgehammer to a Glock fight.
Just Race gave us so many great memories.
Oh, yeah.
And so many great matches.
One of the all-timers and one of the only people that Meng was afraid of, or Haku was afraid of.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't Haku just afraid of him and Andre?
I don't think he was afraid of Andre.
No, Andre was afraid of Haku.
Yeah, rightfully so. Any man who grabs a can of mace and sprays himself is not a man to be fucked with.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Everyone who doesn't know who Haku is should be afraid of Haku.
Yeah.
Right.
If they've never heard his name.
He's the man called Meng.
Okay, you got something?
Jeez. Test.
Okay.
Because it's been like 20...
He died in 2009, I think. Yeah, 2009.
It's been a while.
It's hard to believe it's been that long.
Versus someone from nowadays. I'd like to see Test versus Drew.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, Test was never one of my all-time favorites, but I will admit that man had the best big boot ever.
Like, Test, Drew,
His was better... Test's big boot was better than Kevin Nash's.
Everyone's big boot was better than Kevin Nash.
Okay, true.
Because Kevin Nash would tear a quad if he tried to run and kick somebody in the face.
Diesel. Okay, Diesel versus Test would have been a cool match to see. Yeah.
But like Test versus Drew or Test versus Damian Priest?
Yeah.
Like,
I do have someone versus Damian Priest, but I'll save it for my
I'll turn. Say another one now because I remember. So before I forget, I'll just say it now.
Mm-hmm.
Crash Holly.
Yeah, I had him in mind, but I didn't have anyone.
He's been gone since, what, 04?
Yes. Wow. 21 years. Jeez.
If Crash was still doing the hard, he'd probably still be doing the hardcore shit.
The super heavyweight weighing in at allegedly well over 400 pounds.
Yes.
Yeah.
The cowardly heel hardcore stuff. him and... I want to go with Sammy Callahan.
Yeah.
That would work. Just he would probably be one of those guys if he hadn't passed away, and he would be much older now, but I could see
a GCW for bringing him in.
Like him, Joey Janela.
To interfere at the very least or
Crash
something.
Was always more of a hardcore, or sorry, like a comedy hardcore wrestler. So, like,
Janela could do it.
Yeah, or R-Truth.
Yes, R-Truth.
Yeah, because R-Truth to the 24/7 title was like Crash Holly to the hardcore title.
Yeah.
Because Crash Holly was the one who kind of introduced the 24/7 rule for the hardcore title. So
Crash throw a chair in the ring and then Truth would be like, what are you doing? You're going to get disqualified. And throw it out of the ring.
We're just supposed to roll each other up. What is this?
The 24/7/11.
24/7/7/11 I-95 South European Intercontinental Championship. Or European Television Championship.
Now imagine this. K-Quick versus R-Truth.
Same person. Yeah. Come on. There's no difference other than the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they still look the same.
Yeah. That's the scariest part.
Give me 1984 ballpark.
Wait, one more Crash Holly.
There. Oh.
I would say maybe do one more feud with his brother.
Cousin. Hardcore?
Hardcore, yeah.
Bob.
Yeah. Bob,
yeah.
Yeah. Sparky Plug.
Sparky Plug, yeah. Sparky Plug was his race car driver gimmick, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
1984, put me in the Sportatorium in Texas. Texas Stadium, Kerry Von Erich.
Mm.
Okay, like you guys had to know this was coming.
Of course.
And it would be during the territory days, you know, the whole Texas tornado. Even though, you know, they tried to give him a push with the Intercontinental title and all that. It just wasn't really, I didn't go over very well.
He won it at one of the worst WrestleManias, didn't he?
Right.
Yeah. The WrestleMania, what was it, 7, the one that had to be moved from a stadium to an arena because of the whole Gulf War thing? Or there,
it could have been
that was Hogan versus Slaughter, right? When Slaughter was the Iraqi sympathizer, right,
just for security reasons. Mm-hmm. But like, well, we're talking world class. The Von Erichs feud mm-hmm. with the Freebirds, which is iconic,
mm-hmm.
and of course Von Erich winning the NWA World Title at Texas Stadium, like
the Texas Tornado, Texas Stadium.
I would have loved to have been there for that.
Yeah, that would have been
just
cool.
The whole era, seeing him team with Kevin and David.
Yeah,
you know, Mike should never have been in the ring. You know, his brothers cut this wicked promo and all that. They give the mic to Mike, and he goes, "Yeah." Okay, we're all in agreement. Mike's not coming on anymore. Okay.
Yeah.
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 In favor, say yeah. Yeah.
They just like take the mic. Why don't you just go
stand? Go stand in the corner.
Yeah.
See, you see the chair over there?
Like that kiss. It's like that kiss skit from Family Guy where not Ace Frehley, whoever was the stand-in for him, just goes rock and roll. And Gene's like, what? Why don't you just go stand over there?
Rock and roll. Okay. Hey, what are we here to do, Lois? And have a
wonderful
time.
Oh, God, I've lost all faith in humanity.
What do you got?
Razor Ramon.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Like, I'm talking like from the era when, he was Intercontinental Champion facing Shawn Michaels for the title at Mania or SummerSlam, whatever. Against Damian Priest, because I feel those two's
right.
Like their styles are so similar. So, and now of course Damian does do the Razor's Edge as one of his moves. Mm-hmm, so, I feel those two could play off of each other really well, and their promos would probably be pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Not much more to say other than that. Just they would have a very good Hoss fight.
Mm-hmm.
Like had it would have been probably better had Hall not fallen into. Like the addictions that he did, but obviously that affected his whole career at many points. But
and that's too bad. That's what's going to be Scott Hall's legacy.
Yeah.
Okay. The addictions, the problems, what ultimately had killed him. Okay. His work rate was incredible.
Oh, he was great
when he showed up. You know.
But then especially WCW, it got worse, and like they decided to make it into a storyline, and I'm just like, ugh, why would
when
you
him do and that? Kevin Nash had that feud, and Hall was drunk every match,
and then shortly after that, like they stopped showing up, you know, they were there.
Mm-hmm.
They were, you know, but you could tell they didn't want to be there.
Oh yeah.
Anymore. There was a lot of guys.
They made their money. Yeah.
And that's why they were there, and mm-hmm. you know.
Even when they came to the WWF, it was like, it was cool at first, but then it's just like, isn't anything.
Yeah. This is not the NWO I enjoyed.
No.
You know.
That's the NWO.
Okay. You got another one?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, I got one more, and
that's all I had.
Okay, well,
myself,
I got one
home.
Last, and we're gonna go home.
Yeah,
after this, the Hot Rod, Roddy Piper. Okay, and like in the territories
mm-hmm.
from 79 to 84 before going to Vince for the national expansion, mm-hmm. the rock and wrestling and all that. There's some more homework, kids. Piper and the territories, Georgia, Mid-Atlantic, you know, from 79 to 84.
Kids would hear homework now and get offended.
Yeah. Is homework still a thing?
I doubt it.
Who knows? Yeah.
It puts too much pressure on them.
Oh, mm-hmm. God. Yeah.
Yeah, like, their free time is important.
All of his territory works, you know, in the Pacific Northwest as well, in Portland and all that. Like, he was magic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
one of the best promos ever, too.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah. Yeah. And the WWF never wasted him.
No, no. Well, they did not giving him a world title, but
yeah, but
in terms of
he really didn't need it.
No, he was the champion. He was the champion on the stick. That's for sure.
Oh, his WrestleMania match with Bret Hart.
Yeah.
For sure.
Or even how he played into Hogan versus Andre, like him, like, one of the best parts about that feud, in my opinion, is when he leaned down and goes, "You're bleeding."
Like, "You're bleeding.
You're bleeding." Yes or no? Do you or do you not? Or will you, or will you not face Andre?
He ripped the cross right off.
Yeah. Yes or no? Yes!
Would have loved to have been, I believe it was in the Omni, with the dog collar match with Greg Valentine.
Oh yeah.
Like that's prime Piper right there.
I think that's what CM Punk referred to as Piper in Portland when he was hyping up his dog collar match with MJF. Yeah.
Punk knows his shit.
Oh, Punk does know his shit. Yeah. I will not argue that.
So I think
to see a promo battle between Piper and Punk would be
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. But yeah, the clock on the wall is telling us it's time to bring this train into the station. So we're all looking forward next weekend to WrestleMania.
WrestleMania.
When we watch it,
yeah. We're not going to be watching it live, unfortunately, because, well, we've got prior commitments, other lives. We got shows to do. We got shows to work, or shows to go to, shows to work.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
it'll be
unfortunately
hard to stay off the internet for 2 days, but I'm going to try it.
It's going to be impossible. But like the second I open Instagram, there's going to be something giving me updates. So I'm going to have to unfollow some wrestling pages. And
I'm
going
to just
think,
have to try to not open Instagram and Facebook for a couple days.
Oh, we all know that's impossible. Yeah. Come on. Let's be real here. It's integrated. It's second nature to us now.
Plus, I need it for my job. So I'm going to be like, oh, what's cup? Fuck!
Son of a bitch!
Oh, son of a bitch!
But when we do watch it,
have the Jim Ross.
Oh, son of a bitch! Yeah. So, but when we do watch it, hopefully we can all get together on the Monday to just binge it the whole thing and skip through some segments and or entrances that we really don't need to see.
It's an entrance. Meh.
Yeah. Well, some WrestleMania entrances are all timers, but
mm-hmm. not all if of Jay them. Comes through the crowd.
Oh fuck. Yeah, for a stadium? Yeah, that'd be great.
That'll be 10 minutes, though.
Probably.
it'll be an Undertaker entrance.
We'll do the 1.5 speed fast forward. We can still hear the audio, but not...
There we go.
But it's just faster.
How can people get a hold of us?
They can get a hold of us on Facebook at facebook.com/WrestlingNightInCanada or on Instagram at WrestlingNightInCanada.
Right. And, of course, Wrestling Night in Canada is proud members of the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. If you're checking the show out on some other podcast irrigator, be
irrigator.
Be sure
podcast alligator.
Alligator. Yeah. Be sure to go to Shining Wizards and check out. You know, it's predominantly a pro wrestling podcast, network, but there's a variety of others as well, including if you haven't had enough of your cool Uncle Snowy, then maybe you're going to want to check out Radioactive Metal, where, like I said, my co-host Aaron and I, we had this very topic as well on a recent episode. So check it out. And in the meantime, and in between time, once again, thank you, Ed Whalen. That's it. Another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruka.
Signing off.
And we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.